This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast. It's episode number 10. Joining me, as he does week in, week out, pretty much, the great Mitch Robbo Robinson.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's good to be here again, yet again. We're doing pretty well. The views are up and about, and we have a pretty big guest up today, I must say.
We certainly do.
I'm a bit nervous to be around here, but...
Yeah. Why? Considering you he wasn't good enough to keep the chair that you are currently sitting in.
He's just a bully. He's come unprepared. He's asked to be on this week, and I'm thinking I'm just a bit nervous, that's all.
Why would you be nervous? Because he's only kicked his second career goal of all time, and he did that last week?
Mate, that was probably the happiest goal that I've ever, like, witnessed. Like, the boys were just up and about.
It was from a set shot. We know that Foxtel
Two
gave
goals,
him a 68% chance of getting the goal.
That's pretty good probability for Jammo.
He nailed it 100%. Here's Michael Jamison. G'day, Jammo. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
First things first, talk us through that goal.
Well, firstly, it'd be remiss of me not to thank Mitch for warming my chair.
That's right.
As the founding father and continual host of the podcast.
All good things come to an end, though. But
From little things, big things grow. Anyway, goal. Not many players go into a game and double their... career tally.
True.
So I've done that.
Yep.
I think it was game changing.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Was it career and life changing?
Was it game changing?
Both.
How much were we up when you kicked that goal?
They were coming.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was against the flow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling you.
No, it was good. Obviously, I don't get too many chances, and I do weekly get into the coaches about getting a chance to get up there, so it was nice to finally...
Are we going to see more of the big Jamison up forward, or...?
I doubt it. If you saw the other work I did while I was up there,
why was it? Why were you up there? I thought you were lost. Was he trying to run deep and get a cheap build?
It was a fair question. It was when Nick went off.
Yeah.
The head clash. They were quite short in their forward line, so they tried to find somewhere to hide me.
We were short on rotation,
so they probably threw me.
He's going for a sneaky third goal there at one stage as well, weren't you, mate? Hiding out in the pocket.
Yep.
Well, there was a bit of commotion going on the other side of the pocket. He got
goal sneak, Michael Jamison.
Yep. We lost Eddie.
It was you're on the end of a pinpoint pass, weren't you, from Troy Menzel? Was that right?
No, Lockie.
Oh, Lockie
Henderson. So okay. Andrew Walker was the first assist.
Yeah,
he's watched it a few times.
Lockie Henderson was this week,
right?
Last week. So I've told the boys any direct assist is a bottle of wine. So I'm down for two bottles.
And if you don't drink wine,
whatever you like, drink of choice.
Okay.
Cascade draft.
How is Jammo generally on promises like that, Robbo?
Does he follow through? I can't do much. He did just buy me a coffee. I think it was with my own money, but was it? How can you run into the change rooms? I said it was $5. Okay, there was $5 in my locker, so I'll go down and check after this, but
okay.
He did bring me a coffee, which is pretty good.
An Asada certified coffee, we should point out. Yeah, so Jammo, that's very exciting. Hopefully that goal will one day make the great 25 moments of the Carlton Football Club, which we will discuss shortly.
If it's not in there, it's certainly the 26th.
Now, how's the week been for both of you? I'll go to you first, Robbo.
It was very good. As we said, we came off a good win last week, and it always makes we had a break, obviously, so I made it a bit more refreshing, and in the head I felt I could relax a little bit more. So, I got away. I went up to Adelaide with a missus and my little son, a Chancy boy.
I stayed at
enemy's house at the moment. Yeah, I stayed at Eddie Betts' house. So it was good to catch up with him, and I saw a couple of my close mates up there. But I went through the bags and found some structure sheets.
Good.
I'll be bringing that back and showing Mick. I've got a little bit of dirt on the boys. So
good.
So what was that little was camera a, taken yeah. out of the briefcase?
It was a paid flight. So Mick, they paid for me to go up there. Yeah. So I've got a story for you. Flew with Tiger. It wasn't the crown of the air, but...
It's the airline for Richmond supporters. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's not the best. Yeah, so it was $50 each way. I just woke up from a nice little sleep. You know, Chance was fine on the plane, didn't make any cries, noise or anything like that. And then checked my phone, and it was 9:10. We went together at 9:20, and I woke up to the pilot going, yeah, we're going to turn around, guys. We have a technical difficulty, and the only way to fix it was get an engineer, which is in Melbourne, so... We had to fly all the way back. We did about two laps of Geelong while we're waiting for the air traffic to let us come down and land. Yeah. So it was disgusting first
That's great.
Over there.
Because when you're in a busted plane, you want to spend as much time in the air as possible.
We're sitting at about 29B as well, so my leg space was limited. So it wasn't the best, but I've learnt my lesson. And, I put it up on Twitter for about 2 minutes and had about 10 comments saying, why are you on all this money and you're flying Tiger and stuff? So I took that down after that, and then I said, you know what, I'm not flying with them again.
It's like that Tasmanian joke. There's the Tasmanian who's swimming from Tassie to Victoria across Bass Strait and gets three quarters of the way and gets tired, so he swims back.
Yes, Jambo.
It's actually usually a blonde joke, but I thought I'd mix it in for...
I don't mind it. Why would a blonde be... I don't know, but it's, it's good.
Works well. Jambo, how was your week been? Was it... I mean, was it a week of scheduled celebrations for the goal, or did you...
There was something on each day. No, I got out of town, and as Mitch said, just took the opportunity to refresh, get the body sound again, and more so the mind. It's good to get out of Melbourne and get footy out of the head, and it does sort of feel like, you know, the year's almost starting again, so it's always a good feeling that we can refresh. I think we've got a bye in another, you know, 10 or so weeks, so we can, narrow the season down and attack that.
All right, well, being in the leadership group, perhaps you could give us your perspective then on the first half of the year and look at the positives and the negatives. What are the playing group taking from the first half or so of the season?
Yeah, probably, you know, learnt more lessons in the first 4 weeks. I think the biggest thing to come out was, you know, when we don't do things that we've been instructed to do, teams just hurt you too much. You know, we went in with some game plans and some strategies, and it showed in those periods, you know, those games, that when we did them, we were more than competitive. But when we fell away and weren't consistent for the whole game, then teams just hurt you too much. You know, especially this year, I think it's so even, and you can go into any game and, you know, any team can beat any team. So if you're not switched on for that first, you know, the whole four quarters, more likely going to lose.
It showed even in the early games. Halves, we'll be playing well, then, you know, we'll drop away with things that got us to in front of the, you know, against Port Adelaide. We played three good quarters, and
yeah, but three of the last four was, you know, some good momentum to go into, you know, after the bye, and we've learned some good things to come out of that, and had some good young kids. I think it's probably been, you know, my highlight come in.
Talent.
You know, Dylan Buckley's been tremendous. Troy Menzel, he's been terrific when he's been out there. So, those young kids, you know, been really great.
Well, just from young kids to old men of the club, I guess you could say Heath Scotland announced his retirement today, being Tuesday. Your thoughts on the retirement, and just tell me about the announcement itself, Gemma. How did Scotto choose to make it?
Yeah, it took me by surprise. He's obviously gone away over the bye and thought about it and reconsidered where his body was at, and he spoke to the playing group this morning, or I should say he attempted to speak to us. Mick introduced him, and he was just too emotional to even, get a sentence out. So he came back this afternoon with the press conference, and all the boys, you know, sat at the back, and he spoke really, really well. And he just, you know, outlined that he's, you know, his ankle's not at a, you know, at a position where he can go out on the weekend and you know, work and play to the high standards that he's come to expect from himself over the last 16 years. So, you know, he's you know, speaking about Scotto, he's certainly the most courageous player, you know, I've ever played with, and probably, you know, in the top handful of the hardest workers I've played with as well. So it's been a real privilege.
Robbo, your thoughts on Heath Scotland and his career and your time with him at the club?
As Gemma was saying, like, he's been a massive leader of the club, especially since my time I've been here. Didn't so much take me under his wing, but, you know, kind of showed me the way of how much hard work and stuff it takes to play at the top level. And even like the days after the game, he would be the first guy like running hard in the drills and stuff, and just, you know, shaking the cobwebs out. So he's led a lot of the way early. And as Gemma said, he's, you know, he had a great press conference where he could actually speak to us properly without, you know, getting too emotional. So I think, you know, we see it on TV and stuff. He spoke really well, and good luck to him. I think he's going to be doing a bit of coaching. He's been with the Vic Country coaching them in the midfield. So, he's one of the smartest blokes in the meetings as well, along with the coaches. So, you know, I can't wait to see what he does after footy, and hopefully he sticks around for the rest of the year and, you know, gives his knowledge to us. So I hope he's in the rooms and that. So.
Heath Scotland, it has been a remarkable career, 268 games, the majority of them 215 at Carlton. He was a 2012 most deserved John Nicholls medal winner. And in 2011, he was awarded Carlton Life Membership. So as you say, Robbo, it would be great to see him back here at the club, sharing that wisdom and the knowledge that he's gained over that long and prestigious career.
16 years is a long time in footy. And he touched on the Life Membership as one of his, you know, greatest memories of the club. So you got that, Gemma?
Technically, I've got it this year, but I haven't been awarded.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully I'll get there one day too.
Well, you get it for the podcast.
You do? You get your own. Yes. You get my own life membership.
Yeah, that's apparently
two years in it.
Just that you said, Jamo, that Scotto went away over the break and would have had to confront the brutal reality that his ankle wasn't going to get much better. What sort of place is that for a player to inhabit it as he's staring at the end of, you know, when you look at Scotto, the life he's known for 16 years?
I can only imagine. He said he did take solace in the fact that, you know, it is his body that has let him down, and he's scraped and scraped and scraped every inch out of, you know, his career. And, you know, in the end, it was something that he couldn't really control. He's tried to get it right for 2 years. So, you know, he took solace in the fact that he wasn't moved on. He wasn't, you know, out of the AFL 10 years ago. It's taken an injury that he can't control to move him on, and he's got 16 great years out of it.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. He's been a magnificent servant of the club. And we wish Heath Scotland the best in the next, hopefully very successful, chapters of his life. Speaking of Adelaide, Robbo, you mentioned you're over there with Eddie Betts.
Yep.
Did you get inside Eddie's head? Did you channel Sun Tzu, the great warrior, and basically get inside your enemy's head and destroy him from within?
No, we had a couple of big nights.
There's a good joke at the club about Sun Tzu or Sun Tzu. Mick's a big history buff.
Yeah.
As we all know, but Mick pronounces it Sun Tzu.
Which is probably correct.
It could be, but one day in a meeting, Mick was talking about opposition and Sun Tzu, and he said Sun Tzu, and Wade, he said, bless you. So we know Wade's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I thought that was one of his good ones.
Is that why the old show got cancelled? These jokes? Or
but that didn't get him in the VFL, did it? So good on you, Mick.
No, that's a good one.
How are we going to beat Adelaide, Robbo?
Yeah, well, as you said, I was over there, but you know, I watched the game last week because I was pretty keen on seeing how the boys go. You know, their defensive pressure in the forward line is amazing. I think they're ranked third. I don't know if it's on the sheet here, but they're ranked third in the conference, like 50 tackles. So that's a big thing. They want to keep their ball, obviously, in their forward 50 more than us, which is pretty obvious. But, yeah, so, you know, they've got some great players in Dangerfield and Thompson around the stoppages. And big Saucy Jacobs is in his All-Australian form again, I think. So it's good to see him playing well, but hopefully not the week against us.
Who do you think you'll line up on?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not playing this week.
Oh, you're not?
I'll line
that's
up,
right,
because I'll line up on the boundary, probably to where the members sit, but I'll be around there somewhere.
How's that going? How's your suspension going?
It's going really well. Today we finished a pretty solid session and took my boots off after running, and Big Butterfin came over and goes, Robbo, what the hell are you doing taking your boots off? And I thought, yeah, you know, I'm done for the day, so we'll go inside. And he said, no, mate, you got a bit of extra running to do, so whacked the boots back on and had a bit of a 6 to 7 minute running session and, you know, a bit of repeat efforts. But that's just what I'm doing at the moment. So
you're not breaking rocks with a chain gang or anything?
No. I'm just getting the body right and make sure I'm just, you know, playing game-like simulation during the week instead of this weekend. But in my head, I'll play this weekend.
Okay. Robbo, sorry, Jamo, who do you think you will line up on? You'd have a pretty clear idea, wouldn't you?
Big Texie Walker.
Yeah, most weeks I probably have more of an idea than this week because they've got obviously Tex is back in the team and Joshy Jenkins, you know, kicked four last week. Mm. But they've also got big pods as well. So there's probably three forwards that they're going through there that I could play on and probably will play on, you know, at stages this week with, you know, big Sam Rowe and Simon White down in the back line now and in good form. It's given me some other big bodies down there to sort of help out. So we've been able to rotate, you know, through some opposition forwards, you know, much better than in the past.
It gives Jamo a chance to, you know, get off the leash and go forward and kick snags.
Yeah.
Having those two blokes in form.
Well, that's what we want. We want him to increase his career tally by 33%.
Well, we could keep doubling it every week, really.
Yeah.
Oh, ideally, I'd double it. We call it the Fibonacci. Is it Fibonacci? Yeah. No, that's where it's plus.
Yeah, it's called the Fibonacci.
Not quite. We'll try and double it every week. By the end of the year, I'll be kicking 60 goals a game.
Jeez, yeah, smashing it. And then you will be in the 25 greatest moments. Yeah. You see
who's going to get Eddie?
You know what? I think the Irishman, Zach Tui, will get him. I think, you know, they used to train on each other here, and Eddie didn't really get a sniff, so I think Zaki Tui would go to him. And there's a young forward that's just starting to make his career up there is Charlie Cameron. And I think the big Dual Buckley might get him. So there's two small forwards in there that both those boys can more than enough handle. So it'll be a great game. I can't wait to watch it from my awesome view.
You mentioned before, Jamo, about the loss of concentration or the fade-outs. How is that going to be addressed against a team like Adelaide who know how to play four quarters and they're a hard team. They give it a fair nudge.
They are, and they're sort of a little bit hard to read as well. They were obviously fantastic against Collingwood, you know, last week, and then the week before they would have been, you know, disappointed losing to Melbourne. But to address your question, I think a lot have been spoken about especially earlier in the year, about leadership and things like that. And I think that's the best the best way to keep the team focused. And I think it's not waiting until quarter time and half time and three quarter time to address issues. It's up to the leaders, and that's not just the guys in the group. That's the players that have been around for a long time. Including guys like Mitchie, who've been around for 6 or 7 years now, to make sure that every player's focusing, because it over 2 hours it is sometimes easy to switch off just for a second, and that's what hurts you in AFL games. So it's up for everyone just to keep each other concentrating and making sure we don't switch off at all.
So if you see a player who, to your mind, is not pulling his weight, not trying hard enough, or has screwed up in front of goal, for example, is your first instinct just to give them a bake or to go the opposite way and, almost be, let's say, not confrontational, but just...
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, to give constructive criticism. What's your approach?
It's a good question, and I think it shouldn't depend on the player giving the feedback. It's, if you're a good leader, it should depend on the player who's receiving it, because what's the best to get, certain thing, reactions out of certain players. So, Mitchie might, respond better to a bake, but a young player might rather you wrap your arm around his shoulder and just give him a tap on the bum come on. So it depends who it is, and often maybe sometimes what position of the game. If it's getting tense, then you might sort of lose it a bit and go a bit crazy, but if you're rallying, it might be a tap on the bum. So it depends which player and situation is in games.
Yeah, I'll grab a glute.
Often, maybe sometimes.
Maybe so. I think that's quite a podcast right there. Scotland was not shy about giving advice, was he, Robbo?
No, he was definitely one of the main contributors in the back line. I copped a few sprays off him not getting back hard enough when he wasn't picking up his man. He was floating around there racking up posies and... Scotto was a massive leader for the club, and it just takes the younger players to learn from him. Like we got, as you said, Dill Buckley and a few younger blokes in the back line. They'll learn from Scotto, and hopefully they start pulling their weight in the talking factor, I guess, down the back. So yeah, it's what Gemma said. It's not how you give it sometimes, it's how you receive it and just take it on board. And what you don't want to see on TV is blokes absolutely spraying each other and going back and forth. It's find the moment and just bite your tongue and just take it. And then if you've got something more to say, they go at quarter time or half time and have your words there. But yeah, you can see it on TV and it looks bad, but just how you give it, I guess.
Oh, it never bothers me.
I love the passion.
Yeah, there's passion. And
it's passion.
Yeah. But does an opposition see that and think, oh, okay, we've got under their skin, or they're fighting amongst themselves? Is it
passion.
Like that?
I don't think so. It's almost sometimes... Did I just say almost sometimes? The opposite. Yeah. Because you notice with teams like... Sydney, they're always going at each other, and it just demonstrates that they care and they're passionate and they want to succeed, and that's the level we're trying to get to. And we're getting players that are coming through now, like Dill Buckley's certainly going to be at least a leader of this club in the future, if not a future captain. He's coming and he's barking like a little Jack Russell, and that's great to see, and that's what we need from every player that comes into the team.
Now, Dylan Buckley's dad featured in a few of the great Carlton moments over the course of a glittering career. This week, we're counting down to the game against Adelaide, where the last four of the 25 greatest Carlton moments will be revealed. You guys are actually wearing a special Guernsey this week. It's got supporters' names on the front and Carlton players' names on the back. Now, is that every player who's ever played for the Carlton Football Club?
Yes, it is.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. So it's in pretty small lettering. Gemma, you were looking at this closely before. Why is that?
Oh, because they did the same initiative last year, and they put all the players' names on. It could have been earlier this year, and they'd spelt my name wrong.
So what was it, Jameson?
They put an E in Jameson, as a lot of people do, but I made sure that it was all correct.
I think you sent a letter. You sent a letter up to the hierarchy and said, look, guys, come on, I'm a leader of the club and I can't be embarrassed like this.
I went straight to the top. There's no coincidence that, Styx has been moved on. So the new president's obviously got that right.
Yeah. So that's an exciting thing to wear after the Heritage Round featuring the old monogram. This one actually features the monogram from the 1914-15 premierships back-to-back.
Ooh.
Hint, hint, guys.
Yes.
If you had to nominate your greatest moment on the field wearing the Carlton jumper, what would it be, Robbo?
Probably my short time in the current current days. I'm not going back to the 90s.
No, but you wearing the number 12.
Oh, me doing it?
Yeah, you.
I reckon my greatest moment was when I spoiled the ball over the line in the Richmond final.
Yep.
And then I came back and kicked a snag and put us in front. So it was my worst and my best moment. I saw my career flash before my eyes. I thought, mate, I'm gone in this year. Like, I knew it. Yeah. No, the boys came back and won for me, so... I reckon that was mine.
What about you, Jamo? Not apart from last week, obviously. Apart from the goal.
That's the first goal. No, beating Richmond last year.
Yeah.
That win was terrific. Coming from behind in front of 94.
90 plus.
Probably 80 of...
Whom
were
Richmond?
70,000 of their fans. Yeah. When we weren't expected. Yeah.
Including when we that just umpire who just snuck 350-metre penalties.
That's right.
And they're all there, apparently.
I forget about that stuff.
Oh, I do.
That's not surprising.
Nah, because I'm just so awesome.
I lost my SH1T over that. Believe me, my poor son will never forget the facial expressions Daddy pulled after the third one, especially. Anyway, and your greatest Carlton moment then that you haven't been involved in, Gemma?
Don't read from the sheet.
I can't go too far back, unfortunately, because I'm not a...
Because you're not
I
a
wasn't.
Yeah.
I was Essendon. But coincidentally, I'm sure that many, many, many fans are voting for the Essendon
The 99 loss, prelim.
The 99 prelim.
Yeah.
So,
it'd have to be that.
There'll be many of them, I'm sure.
What about you, Robbo, growing up?
Oh, it'd have to be the...
Barracking for the Swans.
The unviewer, they include the first game, Princess Park, when the blood bath. Nah. I think the one that I remember strongly, obviously, is Jezelinko's mark was an amazing one. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Harms or Johnson that smacked in from the boundary?
Yep.
I reckon that,
it was Wayne Harms. Yeah,
Wayne. I reckon that was the one that was just ridiculous play and it turned into a goal. And I just loved the desperation and it was just awesome.
It also put a stake through Collingwood's heart, which we continue to twist.
I hate Collingwood with a passion, so...
What I love about that was in the old days where people could bring streamers to the ground. So if you look at the footage,
it looked good.
The boundary line is just covered.
About as bad as the Seagulls now, so...
Yeah.
Tone, as a lifelong supporter, what's yours? I'd be interested.
Well, 99 always comes to mind, 1970.
It's funny that we've won so many premierships and Carlton supporters, there's just a hatred of Essendon. Yeah. It's a prelim. Yeah, it's a prelim that's...
Exactly, anyway. Because that was the... In 96, they lost by a point to North Melbourne. No, to Sydney, sorry. Essendon lost to Sydney by 1 point. So it was just great to do that to them again.
So that was
kind
the Coltons.
Psychologically break them. Yeah. It was also the arrogance of Wallace to try to run past Fraser Brown with the ball and just to have, Murph holding the ball at the end and... It was just a wonderful game. It just played out exactly like it should have. And to beat the hated enemy, there was nothing better. And get into the grand final. If you ask most Carlton supporters...
We won that grand final.
Well, the grand final was a dead rubber.
That was a prelim, the grand final then.
Didn't really matter.
That's good enough.
I don't know. There's so many moments in there, Gemmo. Where do you start? Where do you end?
Yeah.
You know, the 2004 Wizard Cup.
You'd remember the club's formation, so that would be, that'd be up there.
The Wizard Cup, by the way.
The Wizard Cup.
The boys celebrated like it was an actual real grand final and they were on the bench for about 4 days.
Yes, you had to back then.
Bottom of the ladder that year, so.
They were green ties. We ended up beating, I think it was 2004 or 2005, the team that actually went on to win the grand final.
Oh, really?
So it was a moral victory for Carlton.
Well, there we go.
Always state.
Don't rub that season out then.
So, now I did mention the 24 members Guernsey. The members Guernsey will feature over 1,000 Carlton members' names printed on the front and on the back. And the club will be auctioning off the Guernsey next week. So if you'd like to bid, head to the Carlton website. Now, it will be the game Guernsey, so it will come off your backs and into, in your case, Robbo...
In the pup's office.
A protective bag.
I might buy my own.
It won't be washed, as far as I know. So you can literally, you can buy it. You can have the DNA of Michael Jamieson.
Mm.
And if you are of a scientific bent, you can, when the technology permits, recreate your own Michael Jamieson.
Fancy that.
Yeah, there you go.
I can imagine Tugan around. Jeez.
And in the meantime, you can just take the
sweat. He might have a son one day, then you can just marry him.
You could do that. But in the meantime, why not create your own? And you can have literally the sweat off Robbo's back. And let his perspiration be your inspiration. Now, we can't go without mentioning the Carlton Carnival.
Oh, I can't wait.
Will you guys be in attendance for this particular event?
Yeah, it's straight after our training session. So, gates open at Visy Park from 9:45 until 11:45.
And that is on this Saturday, the 24th of May.
Sausage sizzles, board games, activities, self-portraits, get down there.
$100 that Jamo will be sitting down in a tent signing autographs, because that's just what he does. He doesn't get around, you know, to do face painting and all that kind of fun stuff. He'll just sit there and sign stuff. So if you want to get down there and see the amazing Michael Jamison, then come down, please.
Now, the Carlton great Mil Hanna, the great number 13, 95 premiership player, he's going to be down there making a special guest appearance, talking about his time playing for the Blues and possibly his time running the Fitz in Brunswick Street. He's a great man.
And is that the one with Afro?
Sorry?
Did he wear an Afro when he was younger?
He went bald very early.
Oh, that one. Okay, I got that.
Yeah,
I mixed up.
Sorry?
Contoggia.
Yeah, I got mixed up.
Yeah, yeah. That's, oh, there's a few.
There's too many Italian names for me.
Yeah, but he, magnificent player in his day. God, he could play. Now, if you can't make Divisi Park on Saturday, don't fret. Make sure you get along to the fourth and final Carlton Carnival on Saturday, the 28th of June. So now, that's a, is that a required event for you guys to attend?
No, we just it's not compulsory. It's optional, and we like to get down there and show our support. So, yeah, we'll be down there.
That's great, because it does mean a lot to the kids, especially when they see, you know, players such as yourselves. They get very excited until I tell them who you really are.
Now, are we doing are we doing the...
We're doing the quiz.
Here we go.
Now, Robbo, you that's are why, coming off a hot streak.
This
like
is why
no
I was
other.
Really nervous, because this bloke actually is not too... You know, he's pretty smart.
Yeah, we know
Let's
that.
Let's be honest.
But that doesn't matter. This is a game of skill, chance,
if it was street smarts, I'd be this every week, but book smarts and knowledge and stuff, I just don't... Yeah.
Okay, you know the game, don't you, Jamo?
Yes.
It's called... Do you know your teammates, Mitch Robinson and Michael Jamison? I will read out hints about the identity of this particular teammate of yours, and you have to tell me who that person is.
Jemma, first to he's win. On, he's on Google.
No, he's not that.
Put
mobile
your phone
phones
down,
have to go
mate.
Away, Gemma. Okay.
He knows the rules.
Clue number one. I made my debut for Carlton during our round two clash against Gold Coast in 2011, which was the first time the two sides had ever played together.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's already got it.
Matthew Watson.
Far out, this bloke.
There is a thing called gameplay.
Oh, that's why I asked this time. You said,
you know, you can maybe draw out the suspense a bit.
Well, ask harder questions.
You also crushed the
self-esteem. I knew I wouldn't even
Robbo.
Get a chance with this bloke.
Yes, it is.
That's
Matthew
the obvious
Watson.
Question
can I go through?
Too.
Can I go through some of the other?
You could have talked about, like, he has an uncle that played for Essendon, and I'd be like, oh, mate, what a.
Yeah, or yeah, he distant went to relative a, was the sidekick of Sherlock Holmes or something.
Well, just something.
Okay, recruited by the Blues, selection 18 of the 2010 National Draft. Well, why don't
he
you
said
tell
he had
us,
a massive
Jamo,
head
seeing as you're his official biographer. Thanks very much. No. How is the shoulder, by the way, Jamo?
Your shoulders are locked and loaded. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
All good. And so your body's right. The back's good. Everything's good.
Is this going somewhere?
No, I was going to say locked and loaded.
We just need to know you're all.
Do
okay.
Need a license for those guns, mate.
Great. Body's great.
Okay, great. Well, look, that's it.
Yeah, well, that just kind of ruined my afternoon. But you know, thanks for coming up, Jamo.
Yeah. Jamo, it's been a delight to have you back, as always. You're always welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Do you consider yourself a permanent member of the podcast? Are you just kind of...
Yeah.
As much as I talk, you know, smack about Jamo, you know, he led the way early on, and I don't think the podcast would be where it is today if it wasn't for him.
No doubt.
Right. Okay.
You know, I just got to respect the elders sometimes, but yeah. definitely elders.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jamo. Lovely to have you back.
Thanks
in
for the coffee, Jamo.
Co-host chair. But you're in the guest chair today, and you perform with aplomb in either.
Thank you very much for having me, Mitch. I know it's always tough to open the door, but I appreciate it.
No worries.
Well, good luck against Adelaide.
Thank you.
Good luck with your suspension, Robbo.
Thank you.
And we will catch you next week on the podcast. I've been Tony Moakley.